We do have Mark Schofield on the line right now from Inside the Pylon, NFL 1000, and Locked On Patriots podcast. What is going on today, Schofield?
Gentlemen, how are we doing this fine Thursday?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Yeah, we are fantastic. We cannot complain at all. And let's just start off talking about this Cardinals and Seahawks game tonight, because it is a Thursday night football game. Earl Thomas is not playing for the Seahawks, but I'm more interested in your takeaway on the quarterbacks here, because as far as the Seahawks go, Russell Wilson, we sort of know what he's all about. I want to get your thoughts on how you think he's played so far this season. But does the Cardinals have any, do they have any hope with Drew Stanton starting?
I mean, you know, having watched his game, his start against the 49ers last Sunday, you know, I came away and my initial takeaway was, well, I mean, that wasn't half bad. I mean, he did some nice things from them. He made a couple of nice throws. But, I mean, if you're a Seahawks fan going into this, and I imagine the bulk of your listeners are, I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, Drew Stanton going out there and lighting the Seahawks up tonight, even with Earl Thomas out. I mean, he's a serviceable backup in the National Football League, but he's not somebody that I think is going to go out tonight, put up a ton of points, make a ton of big-time throws or things like that. So, Stanton, again, I mean, the quick and skinny on him is serviceable backup in the NFL, but not somebody Seahawks fans and the Seahawks themselves should be worried about tonight.
Mark, I want to get your thoughts on what I think a lot of players are calling, you know, the midseason MVP so far. The Philly Eagles quarterback, the sensation that is Carson Wentz. Is this for real? Is the man living up to all this hype?
I think he has lived up to all the hype. And what's been incredible to watch is, again, the continued progression and development of Wentz from week to week. Now, they're doing some really creative sort of scheme things to help them out. His first touchdown pass against the Denver Broncos came on a run-pass option look where Alshon Jeffrey showed a fake screen where he just took one step downfield and stopped to freeze for a second. Wentz fakes it, starts to roll in his direction, and that freezes Aqib Talib, the cornerback, over Jeffrey. And then Jeffrey just releases vertically, and it's a nice designed play, easy throw, easy catch for a touchdown. But then later, when he hit Jeffrey in the back of the end zone for a score, we saw Wentz do the things that people worried about him coming out of North Dakota State, going through progressions, getting to his third or fourth read, making quick decisions, using his eyes to move defenders. These were the things that people said coming out of college that he couldn't do. But now we're seeing that he can do them. He can do them at a very high level. And part of it is now, with the success that they've had with what Doug Peterson and Frank Reich have schemed for him, he's such a confident quarterback at this point where he knows that he can do these things. He trusts that he can do these things on any single play. And so I say the MVP talk is real. And look, if any other quarterback, you know, say Rodgers or Brady, was having this type of season, was having this kind of success, was the quarterback of an 8-1 team, we'd be saying, surefire thing, this guy's the MVP. I think that guys like Brady will probably still get some votes. I look at the Patriots right now and wonder how many games they'd have won without Brady. But given how well the Eagles are playing, I think he's definitely in the mix for it. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see if he won. And, you know, with the bye, they've got a chance to really have a really special second half of the season here.
While we're talking about MVP, I think we got to also give Alex Smith a bit of credit. But does it hurt him in the fact that he has so many weapons? He's got Tyreek Hill, he's got Kareem Hunt, he's got Travis Kelce. Does that hurt or help his cause?
I don't think it hurts his cause so much. I look at it as he's having a career type year, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs are off to an incredible start. And the sort of, you know, leap that we've seen from him has been such a great thing to see. He's made this stride forward as a quarterback. He has taken ownership of the team. Let's not forget, back in August, a lot of the talk out of Kansas City was, how soon is this going to be Pat Mahomes' team? How soon are they going to turn to the rookie? They obviously right. drafted this kid to do the things that Alex Smith doesn't like to do, like throw the ball down the field and be aggressive. But there's no talk like that anymore because Smith has gone out there and shown week in and week out he can do these things. They've had a bit of a slide here a little bit. They haven't, you know, that loss last week down in Dallas, hit a bit of a stumble and block there. But I think that Smith deserves a ton of credit. I think Reed deserves a ton of credit for how he's tailored the offense to what Smith can do and his skill set. And I think just because he has weapons, you know, that shouldn't hurt him. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks go out there and they have great weapons. I mean, the guy we were just talking about, Carson Wentz, they've added pieces like Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey mm-hmm. Smith and Jay Ajayi at the trading deadline. And I don't think we're holding that against Wentz. So, you know, guys like Alex Smith, Dak Prescott, just because they have talent around them, we shouldn't hold that against them. I mean, those are the guys, those are the teammates that they should be playing with.
We are in conversation with Mark Schofield with Sat and John on Sportsnet 650. You did mention the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I think he's sort of been flying under the radar a little bit this season because all the talk's been about Ezekiel Elliott as far as the Cowboys go and all the other quarterbacks you sort of mentioned so far. But how do you think he's acquitted himself in his sophomore season?
It's amazing how little people are actually talking about Dak Prescott right mm-hmm. now because, you know, like you said, he's having another incredible year. A lot of the focus on the Cowboys has been, you know, what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott? Will he be suspended? Won't he be suspended? If he gets suspended, you know, how effective will this offense be with Dak Prescott without Ezekiel Elliott? And the simple fact is you watch Dak Prescott play the position, and I'm hard-pressed to find, you know, two, three, four guys that are playing the quarterback position better right now. You go to that game Sunday against the Chiefs, there's just the raw athletic ability. Like when he rolled out to the right, spotted Terrence Smith in a scrambled go situation, just simply flipped the wrist and the ball goes 43 yards downfield on a dime to him. I mean, that's the kind of raw talent that he has. But similar to Wentz, we're seeing the progression. The first touchdown to Cole Beasley, it was a little slant route. He had to show patience in the pocket, let the route concept develop, sort of fit it in with touch over the underneath defender. Just an advanced type of throw, showed elite precision and accuracy in the red zone there. He can do it all as a quarterback right now. When you factor in with that athleticism, the ability to scramble, to extend plays, he had a rushing touchdown against the Chiefs as well. Like you said, he's flying under the radar right now, but he shouldn't be. And if Elliott is sidelined for any extended period, I don't really see that the Cowboys offense is going to suffer that big of a drop off without Elliott because, you know, I look at it, you know, similar to what Tom Allen, the University of Indiana coach, told me about Saquon Barkley in Penn State's offense.
Right.
You know, I got to talk to Coach Allen, you know, this past offseason at the Big Ten Media Days, and he told me, look, Saquon Barkley is a tremendous talent, but their quarterback is the guy that makes that offense go. And I sort of think the same thing applies to the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott is a tremendous running back, tremendous talent, but it's number four that makes that offense go.
It's funny because Bick Nazar, our producer, we were sort of joking around in our chat yesterday, in our group chat on WhatsApp, and he's like, you know what? We talk about Jalen Ramsey and the whole A.J. Green thing, and we were kind of joking around about, you know what? Imagine if the Cowboys had picked Jalen Ramsey instead of Ezekiel Elliott. Not to say that Zeke hasn't been great, but you do sort of wonder, because Prescott is so good on his own, do you sort of wonder that if you had taken Jalen Ramsey, how much better would that defense be right now with Dak Prescott leading the offense?
Yeah, and that's going to be one of those questions, I think, that's going to get debated, you know, for years now, especially if, you know, with Prescott, with Elliott, if for some reason the Cowboys never get over that Super Bowl hump, if they never win a Super Bowl, and, you know, maybe we see the Jaguars do that mm-hmm. in the same time frame with a Jalen Ramsey. So I'm sure that's going to be a question that people are going to love to debate, similar to the Dak versus Wentz conversations we hear all the time. But I think, you know, the addition of Elliott certainly helped Prescott's transition last year. So I think there's something to be said for Elliott helping Prescott's transition to the National Football League. But the leap that we've seen from Prescott over the past, say, 3 years has been incredible. From the quarterback he was, you know, at Mississippi State, a lot of people missed on him, myself included, you know, to coming into the league as a rookie and having that great rookie season. And then even another leap this year has been just a joy to watch from Dak.
Let's stick with the NFC East for a second here before we move on to other things. The Washington team with Kirk Cousins. I've been on record as saying Kirk Cousins has won me over the last couple of years. I was not a believer in him, but now I truly am a Kirk Cousins believer. How do you think he's played so far?
I think he's played the position very well. And I look at that game against Seattle and obviously, you know, last second thrilling kind of victory for Washington. But what stood out to me wasn't just that sort of final offensive drive with the two big plays, the quick and to Dachson, but throughout that game, he made a number of throws where he had, you know, one or two defenders in his face where he was getting hit right as he released the ball. Even the throw to Quick on that last drive, he got popped right in the chops as he was letting the ball go. But Hunt in there, you know, under pressure, under duress, those types of plays you need to make as a quarterback where you know you're going to get hit, you know it's going to hurt, but you still have to stand in there and make a throw. And more than anything, that's really stood out to me watching Cousins over the past couple of weeks, is how he's had that competitive toughness in those situations. And for Washington, that's one of those victories that, you know, they're, you know, hovering around 500 right now. Obviously, they're looking up at Dallas. They're really looking up at Philadelphia. But a win like that on the road against a high-quality opponent like Seattle, that's a victory that can spark a team to maybe make a nice second half run. And that was pretty much all Cousins down the stretch in that game. So, you know, tremendous amount of credit to him. I think he's played the position extremely well. Washington's really up against it now, what they are facing with Cousins, because if they tag him again, I think his cap number next year is something like $38.5 million for next year. And that's a lot of money to lock up in one player. Now, they might do it because of how well he's played. They might try to use a transition tag, but they could still lose him via, you know, he gets free to negotiate in free agency. They're facing a big decision right now, but Cousins might have forced their hand with how he's been playing lately.
Mark, Jared Goff, fresh off the bye week, had himself a career night, right? He had four touchdowns. He was averaging 14 yards per passing. The guy has really turned his career around in a hurry. He's got the brand new coach. He looks like a brand new man. How serious is this Rams team with Jared Goff? Because I've been saying maybe they've had an easier schedule than even, say, the Seahawks, but with Goff playing the way he is, can they be stopped?
You know, I think, let's not forget, a lot of this came against a Giants team that looks to be just in absolute disarray. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing right now out of MetLife Stadium, you've got the anonymous player sources just sort of sticking the knives in McAdoo's back. It just seems like this team, this Giants team here, is just a lost season. Mm-hmm. But still, you can't deny that Goff went out there, did some things incredibly well in the passing game. He had the deep shot to Tammy Watkins. You score a touchdown on the road on 3rd and 33, even if it's just a simple smoke route, smoke screen that goes the distance, you're doing something right offensively.
Right.
Sean McVay has done an incredible job scheming routes open, designing stuff that Goff likes to run. And I've said it before to you guys, the development of Goff from year one to year two has just been unbelievable to watch. To see how he's sort of settled into the game as a quarterback, the game has definitely slowed down for him. He started to anticipate throws. And then let's not forget, look, you've got Todd Gurley. And then when you look at the other side of the ball, when you have Aaron Donald up front for you defensively, when you mm-hmm. have Wade Phillips, one of the best minds in the game, as your defensive coordinator, you can do things as a defense as well to force turnovers, get short fields and things like that. It happened on the Giants' first drive. Donald with a strip sack of Eli Manning gets the Rams a short field, gets their offense in position to succeed. So I think you're right. I wouldn't sleep on the Rams at all. I think regardless of who they've been playing, who they've played in the past, this is a team that can make some serious noise down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Did Jared Goff connecting with Sammy Watkins, was that your passing play of the week, the highlight moment for you, or did another quarterback impress you over the weekend?
Man, that, watching a lot of these NFC quarterbacks right now, that Goff play stood out. You know, the Wentz, the two touchdowns to Alshon Jeffrey, mm-hmm. those were nice as well. Even, you know, Matthew Stafford had some throws in that game, which were highlight reel type throws. Even just a simple 3rd and 3 out route, he threw to Golden Tate along the left sideline from the right hash mark. Incredible velocity and placement on it. But I go back to Dak Prescott and that throw he made to Terrence Williams, rolling to his right, simple flick of the wrist to Williams deep downfield along the sideline. Prescott has just been, you know, like I said before, guys, the progression he's made from his last year at Mississippi State down to the Senior Bowl and then as a rookie with Dallas and then, you know, this year as well. It's just been amazing to watch him. And, you know, again, I think that offense, that Dallas offense, it runs through number four. And if they lose Elliott for a period of time, I think they'll be almost as successful with Dak Prescott running the helm just because of how effective he's been as their quarterback.
We're in conversation with Mark Schofield from Inside the Pylon, NFL 1000, and Locked On Patriots podcast here on SportsCenter 650. And before we let you go, which matchup are you looking most forward to this weekend in the NFL?
I mean, there are a number of games that stand out, guys. I mean, I think we can certainly start with that Browns-Lions game, right?
Yeah.
We all want to watch that.
Well, yeah, I do love watching my Browns get lit up on a consistent basis, so I suppose so, Mark.
I just had to get that one.
I know. It's all good.
You opened yourself up to that last week when you let me know you were a Browns fan. I was just, Paul.
I know. It's fair. It's fair. It's absolutely fair.
But that's what we do when we're friends, right?
Yeah, it's all good. See, if you can't take some good ribbing, then we're in the wrong business, right?
There we go. I mean, the two games I'm really looking at, Saints and Bills, and who would have thought, you know, again, talking to Beck before I came on, you know, what we thought we knew back in August is just miles away from where the NFL season stands right now.
Real, yeah.
Who would have thought back in August that, Saints-Bills come early November, that's going to be a matchup between two teams in the playoff hunt. But here we have Saints, 6 straight wins. The Bills, yeah, they lost last Thursday to the Jets, but they're in the thick of it in the AFC East. That's going to be a fun game to watch. And then I look at Minnesota-Washington. You know, do the does Washington have a little, you know, a letdown after that thrilling win last week? You've got Minnesota coming in. They're a team that's, you know, leading their division right now. So that's going to be a fun game to watch. So those two games are the ones I really have my eye on this weekend.
Mark Scofie, great stuff as always, my friend. We look forward to this conversation every week and the same for next Thursday here on Sportsnet 650.
As do I, my friends. Always great talking to you. Enjoy the game tonight.